Is there anything you're not involved in?
I know. I was going to say the same thing. Do you work?
Hardly.
Well,
place
not very much. I have 170 invitations to the Career Arts Center's Founders Day. We've had 85 RSVPs.
That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, that's good. That's what's next weekend.
Hello, Mr. Plummel. How are you?
I couldn't figure this whole stuff out here.
Yeah.
Guys ready to start? I'd like to call the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee to order at 6 o'clock on 5:30. It's going on 6 o'clock at Monday, June 4th. Call to order. A roll call.
Chairperson Block.
Present.
Vice Chairperson Bagwell.
Present.
Member Abad.
Here.
Member Hanneman.
Here.
Member Neverett.
Here.
Member Perpich.
Here.
Member Valenti. A quorum is present.
Okay, moving on to item number 3, public comments and discussion. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee. In order for members of the public to participate in the committee's consideration of agenda item, the committee strongly encourages member of the public to comment on an agenda item during the item itself. No action may be taken on an item on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Do we have any public comment, Mr. Public? All right, hearing none. Let's see, we've had a change in the agenda. There's no minutes for approval from the May 7th meeting, so let's move on to item number 5, agenda items. Agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order for the public. The public body may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and the public body may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Okay, let's move on to item agenda number 5-1 for possible action to discuss and provide direction to staff regarding possible modification to the redevelopment plan for project area number 2, South Carson Street, regarding the objectives and proposed activities in the area. Staff? Lee?
Thank you, and good evening. For the record, Lee Plummel from the Office of Business Development. This item is on the agenda as you read into the record to discuss and just to provide direction and staffing. This is the very beginning of the process to possibly amend the project area 2 plan for redevelopment area number 2. And I just want to start off by reminding everybody what redevelopment area 2 is. We have in Carson City, there's the redevelopment district that is comprised of two areas. Area 1 is generally the downtown area. Area 1 also includes the Costco property that is in blue on the map there. Area 2 is the area that's in green on the map, which basically is the South Carson Street corridor from the intersection at the far north end there is where Stewart Street comes into Carson Street. And then it heads down all the way to the pretty much down the South Carson Street corridor to the Douglas County border. Area 2, it's not shown on the map, but Area 2 also includes the former Kmart Park property at the north end of town. So we have these two satellite properties, but that's just based on the times that they were adopted and incorporated into the redevelopment area. We're bringing this item forward to start the process, as I said, of possibly amending the plan. There's a written plan, and you have the whole plan as part of your packet for your information. Based on, it was last year that the Board of Supervisors had an initiative to direct staff to look at this, and it's actually part of the whole thing, the whole plan to get two members onto RAC from the, representing the redevelopment area too. So now that's done, and we have a full seven-member board now that includes two members from Area 2. So we're starting the process of looking at the Area 2 plan to see if we want to make some amendments to the plan. The plan itself is kind of the long-range plan. It's the enabling document that says the kind of things you can do in a redevelopment area. So it's the long-term plan. The redevelopment area number 2 plan and the redevelopment area itself has a 30-year lifespan from when it was adopted, which means it has about 30 years left. So the document itself and the things that are in there are not necessarily an action plan for or a work plan for this year or next year, but it's kind of got to think of the long terms of the things that we want to accomplish to redevelop the South Carson Street redevelopment area. Okay, so going get back to my presentation here. Let's get past that. The Redevelopment Area 2 plan was adopted in 2004, and its primary mission, and it says it right in the document up front, was to keep the Carson City auto dealers in Carson City. It was a time when development was booming pretty much. Development was going on south of the border in Douglas County, and auto dealers were looking at moving there. So this plan was developed to be able to assist the auto dealers and to keep them in Carson City. And just for further background, obviously our city revenues are some property tax and some sales tax makes up the majority of revenues, and the auto dealers are a significant portion of that sales tax revenue, so it's important to keep them in Carson City, and we have the new dealerships to show for the plan, and we probably want to continue in the long run to continue to enhance the auto sales as kind of a regional auto sales location on South Carson Street. Up on the screen there are the strategies from the plan as they exist today, and highlighted in yellow are all the ones that are related to the auto dealers, assisting them in acquisition of sites, relocation, and incentives, et cetera, for auto dealers. So, which again, that was the primary focus of it. And just a couple others in there was work with the state to the redevelopment of the old armory site, and that's the abandoned, we have to go back to the map, but at the north end of the redevelopment area for South Carson Street, that's that site. I could tell you that the state at this time has no interest in relinquishing the properties, but there's been some discussions over the years. And then the other one was just to generally invest in traffic improvements, landscaping, and other public improvements to improve traffic and the appearance of South Carson Street. Also in your packet, I provided a memo kind of with some of the background, and included some suggested, or not suggested, but maybe for the purpose of discussion, some recommended additions to kind of more generally to focus, well, to expand it to be more general for the area, for general redevelopment purposes. And I didn't make these up. Actually, the Office of Business Development drafted amendments to the plan and started drafting amendments to the plan a few years ago, but they never went through the process to get adopted. But this has been on the table for a long time, kind of relooking at what the strategies that the plan includes to expand to broader redevelopment and retail focus rather than just the auto dealers. So some of the potential strategies that were identified in the draft document that I found, for example, implement incentives for developing, the vacant retail sites, the vacant buildings, and also irregularly shaped parcels. And I just want to take a moment. I took an aerial view. What you may not know, if you're familiar with Carson Street, there's some areas where there's some buildings along the front. There's a lot of vacant stuff in the back. And five enter, six enter, where is it? There it is. Okay. So here's a, the dark lines are property lines. Carson Street runs generally north and south through here. And you can see the aerial photo underneath. But what we, if you look at the property line, there's a lot of properties that are really tough to develop as individuals. In fact, have been, for example, this property here, I measured this one. It's 130 feet across. It's pretty minimal commercial frontage. It's 750 deep. So the guy's trying to figure out what do I do with this now. Of course, development now is pretty tough, but it's, so that was kind of one reason that was put in there in the past, and I just wanted to kind of show that I think going forward from this, that's still an issue in the future that may need to be addressed to work with the property owners to figure out how to consolidate some properties to do some development as development comes back. Okay, so let me see if I get back to the right one there. Number two, work with existing property owners to create private investment opportunities and address some potential impediments to investment. I think that's a pretty self-explanatory basic one. Expand housing opportunities in the area. This, you know, again, going back to that strategy, there's a lot of commercial frontage, but there's also a lot of depth. You know, there's an eighth of a mile, more than an eighth of a mile in that 750 feet from Carson Street to the back of the property. So I think there is actually some potential from housing. And just to digress and expand on this a little bit more again, I mean, this has been identified in the master plan that we adopted in 2006 to provide housing in Carson City that provides more of a jobs housing balance. Through the Office of Business Development, I've recently been participating with the Stronger Economies Together program that the through NNDA it's being put on anyway. But our last session involved demographic data and economic data, and one of the interesting it involves this is all the rural counties and Washoe County in the area, and one of the things was this commuter. The leakage of where people are earning their money versus where they're spending the money. And except for Washoe County, we're the only county in northern Nevada that has a negative number there. We're losing more. There's 10, rough numbers, there's about 10,000 employees that work here, that commute into Carson City, and 5,000 that work out. Well, that's a 5,000 different. There's a 5,000 net flow of people who come and earn their money here, they leave the county and are spending their money outside the county. So that's kind of why that's up there. It's not, you know, not inherently obvious that you would want to develop housing for that purpose, but it's to help keep that economy in Carson City in the long term. That's a long-term goal, I think. Obviously, the housing market's not there right now, but as a long-term goal, I think that's why that's there. And then number four has also been discussed about potentially creating a business improvement district as a tool to provide a funding mechanism to do some of the physical improvements that are already in the plan. You're talking about the infrastructure improvements and beautification efforts to make the area more attractive for retail and economic development. So I think that's kind of an overview of the existing plan. You certainly have more details and maybe the things we need to talk about. So tonight, I think I want, if you have any feedback on the plan itself, we want to start the process. But then also, kind of the main thing is, what should the process be do we need to amend the plan? And if so, what should we go through to decide if we need to amend the plan? So this is in your packet also, but basically thought about it and laid out a proposed process for you to consider. And in looking at these five items on here, actually only number four and five, the last two, are the only ones that are required, and that's notification of the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors meetings that would amend the plan. So all the other stuff is just stuff we should do, which is engage the community ahead of that before showing up at the Board of Supervisors meeting. So it's suggested that from this point, after comments in the back, and five enter, six enter, where is it? There it is. Okay. So here's a, the dark lines are property lines. Carson Street runs generally north and south through here, and you can see the aerial photo underneath. But if you look at the property line, there's a lot of properties that are really tough to develop as individuals. In fact, have been, for example, this property here, I measured this one. It's 130 feet across. It's pretty minimal commercial frontage. It's 750 deep. So the guy's trying to figure out what do I do with this now. Of course, development now is pretty tough, but it's, so that was kind of one reason that was put in there in the past, and I just wanted to kind of show that I think going forward from this, that's still an issue in the future that may need to be addressed, to work with the property owners to figure out how to consolidate some properties to do some development as development comes back. Okay, so let me see if I get back to the right one there. Number two, work with existing property owners to create private investment opportunities and address some potential impediments to investment. I think that's a pretty self-explanatory basic one. Expand housing opportunities in the area. This, you know, again, going back to that strategy, there's a lot of commercial frontage, but there's also a lot of depth. You know, there's an eighth of a mile, more than an eighth of a mile in that 750 feet from Carson Street to the back of the property. So I think there is actually some potential from housing. And just to digress and expand on this a little bit more, again, I mean, this has been identified in the master plan that we adopted in 2006 to provide housing in Carson City that provides more of a jobs housing balance. Through the Office of Business Development, I've recently been participating with the Stronger Economies Together program that through NNDA it's being put on anyway, but our last session involved demographic data and economic data, and one of the interesting it involves this is all the rural counties and Washoe County in the area, and one of the things was this commuter, the leakage of where people are earning their money versus where they're spending the money, and except for Washoe County, we're the only county in northern Nevada that has a negative number there. We're losing more. There's 10 rough numbers. There's about 10,000 employees that work here that commute into Carson City, and 5,000 that work out. Well, that's a 5,000 different. There's a 5,000 net flow of people who come and earn their money here. They leave the county and are spending their money outside the county. So that's kind of why that's up there. It's not, you know, not inherently obvious that you would want to develop housing for that purpose, but it's to help keep that economy in Carson City in the long term. That's a long-term goal, I think. Obviously, the housing market's not there right now, but as a long-term goal, I think that's why that's there. And then number four has also been discussed about potentially creating a business improvement district as a tool to provide a funding mechanism to do some of the physical improvements that are already in the plan, and talking about the infrastructure improvements and beautification efforts to make the area more attractive for retail and economic development. So I think that's kind of an overview of the existing plan. You certainly have more details and maybe the things we need to talk about. So tonight, I think I want, if you have any feedback on the plan itself, we want to start the process, but then also kind of the main thing is what should the process be do we need to amend the plan, and if so, what should we go through to decide if we need to amend the plan? So this is in your packet also, but basically thought about it and laid out a proposed process for you to consider. And in looking at these five items on here, actually only number four and five, the last two, are the only ones that are required, and that's notification of the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors meetings that would amend the plan. So all the other stuff is just stuff we should do, which is engage the community ahead of that before showing up at the Board of Supervisors meeting. So it's suggested that from this point, after comments tonight and direction, and I'll need to figure out what the notice would be, but to get the property owners involved early, let them know we're amending it, and seek input. We would notify them that we're going to have a meeting. My suggestion is at the August meeting, they can, you know, we'll have them so that they can submit comments in writing to present to you, or they could show up at that meeting and give us comments on what they think the types of activities that possibly redevelopment area should be, the redevelopment authority should be assisting in redevelopment area number two. And I should say with these times as I go through this, I mean, this would be if everybody was all in agreement all through the way it might go like this. But at any point in this, we might say, well, go back and work on this some more, and that might extend the time frame. But this is just kind of all the steps I'm thinking. But this could be expanded if more meetings and more work on it is necessary. So if we get through the public comment, we would take all those comments together to put together in a draft plan to bring back to RAC for RAC to make a recommendation to the redevelopment authority on amending the plan. And then we'd have the notification and take it to the redevelopment authority meeting. So that's what I would note in number four, the notification requires notification of all the property owners as well as publication in the paper. I would also, what I'm suggesting is, and that's more than in redevelopment area two, I know it's more than 600 properties, but I think it's worth doing. I think we should get that involvement. That's my opinion. At least the first one doesn't require putting in the newspaper the legal description of the boundary, which is like a page long, but that's something we have to do eventually anyway. Just. Well, I think I've summarized kind of where we are and what we want to do. I'd like to turn it back over now to you to answer. I'll answer questions and take any comments you have on what direction you'd like to go with this.
Lee, I have a question. I know that most of what you gave us, the long packet here, was for South Carson Street. Yet what you gave us as a redevelopment area number two plan amendment did not really specify 100% South Carson only. And you did make mention that redevelopment area number two does encompass the Kmart area, the former, which will, I guess, always be known as the Kmart area, no matter what will be there. Is this being omitted from discussion at all? Is this just South Carson Street?
No. The plan is for redevelopment area number two, which definitely includes the former Kmart property. Yeah, I didn't intend to. And like with the map, I would have had to show, just for purposes of being able to see it, I have to see twice, it gets twice as small. So that was the only purpose. I didn't mean to exclude it.
Because honestly, I think redevelopment area two, South Carson Street, is doing rather well. There's new buildings all the time. I think it's the little pocket that's in North Carson that really needs some analyzation.
You know, yeah, that's a good point and worth being highlighted. So, yeah, I'm sorry I didn't point that out. But that is probably one of the, well, when we talk about the empty buildings, South Carson Street has done pretty, Mervyn's got refilled, Walmart, the old Walmart down there. So pretty much the buildings got refilled. The big boxes got refilled, and it just leaves the former Kmart building that has the big vacancy right now. Good point.
Lee, and the other thing that I want to point out, too, and you alluded to it, but the armory, old armory site, I mean, it's blight right in the heart of town. Is there any possibility of a land swap with the state?
That was discussed previously, and you know, I'm not sure what the state would say now. I know it was just they had no interest within the last couple years, or maybe it was a couple years ago that we last brought up the subject on that, and there seemed to be progress at first, but I think at some point it's like, no, we're they had no interest in disposing it. They specifically wanted to hang on to it for its location, actually.
And I will tell you, I just talked with Jim Lawrence maybe about 4 months ago, and he said no.
Made in direction, and I'll need to figure out what the notice would be, but to get the property owners involved early, let them know we're amending it, and seek input. We would notify them that we're going to have a meeting. My suggestion is at the August meeting, they could, you know, we'll have them so that they can submit comments in writing to present to you, or they could show up at that meeting and give us comments on what they think the types of activities that possibly redevelopment area should be, the redevelopment authority should be assisting in redevelopment area number two. And I should say with these times as I go through this, I mean, this would be if everybody was all in agreement all through the way, it might go like this. But at any point in this, we might say, well, go back and work on this some more, and that would kind of, that might extend the time frame. But this is just kind of all the steps I'm thinking. But it could be, this could be expanded if more meetings and more work on it is necessary. So if we get through the public comment, we'll get up, then we would take all those comments together to put together in a draft plan to bring back to RAC for RAC to make a recommendation to the Redevelopment Authority on amending the plan. And then we'd have the notification and take it to the Redevelopment Authority meeting. So that's what I would note in number four, the notification requires notification of all the property owners as well as publication in the paper. I would also, what I'm suggesting is, and that's more than in redevelopment area two, I know it's more than 600 properties, but I think it's worth doing. I think we should get that involvement. That's my opinion. At least the first one doesn't require the putting in the newspaper the legal description of the boundary, which is like a page long, but that's something we have to do eventually anyway. Just. Well, I think I've summarized kind of where we are and what we want to do. I'd like to turn it back over now to you to answer. I'll answer questions and take any comments you have on what direction you'd like to go with this.
Lee, I have a question. I know that most of what you gave us, the long packet here, was for South Carson Street. Yet what you gave us as a redevelopment area number two plan amendment did not really specify 100% South Carson only. And you did make mention that redevelopment area number two does encompass the Kmart area, the former, which will, I guess, always be known as the Kmart area, no matter what will be there. Is this being omitted from discussion at all? Is this just South Carson Street?
No. The plan is for redevelopment area number two, which definitely includes the former Kmart property. Yeah, I didn't intend to. And like with the map, I would have had to show, just for purposes of being able to see it, I have to see twice, it gets twice as small. So that was on purpose. I didn't mean to exclude it.
Because honestly, I think redevelopment area two, South Carson Street, is doing rather well. There's new buildings all the time. I think it's the little pocket that's in North Carson that really needs some analyzation.
You know, yeah, that's a good point and worth being highlighted. So yeah, I'm sorry I didn't point that out. But that is probably one of the, well, when we talk about the empty buildings, South Carson Street has done pretty, Mervyn's got refilled, Walmart, the old Walmart down there. So pretty much the buildings got refilled. The big boxes got refilled, and it just leaves the former Kmart building that has the big vacancy right now. Good point.
Lee, and the other thing that I want to point out, too, and you alluded to it, but the armory, old armory site, I mean, it's blight right in the heart of town. Is there any possibility of a land swap with the state?
That was discussed previously, and you know, I'm not sure what the state would say now. I know it was just they had no interest within the last couple years, or maybe it was a couple years ago that we last brought up the subject on that. And there seemed to be progress at first, but I think at some point it's like, no, they had no interest in disposing it. They specifically wanted to hang on to it for its location, actually.
And I will tell you, I just talked with General Horitz maybe about 4 months ago, and he said most definitely not. The state of Nevada only owns 1% of the property in Nevada, and they're not going to give anything up. Plus, that is the stated site for the Nevada Highway Patrol. That's what's going in there. So to answer your question, N-O spells no.
Lee, the other thing that I thought of when you were discussing this was the fact that possibly you'd, and the number would be minimal, of notifying the various organizations that are kind of in service an umbrella for some of these areas, whether it's the Chamber, the Downtown Merchants Association, whatever it is. It'd be just another four letters or something that would go out sending, notifying them, because there's always a possibility somebody doesn't see or read the paper that isn't a property owner who may have some valuable insights or input into the process.
You know, I think maybe that part of what we do, because we know how state lands are, as a Pam Wilcox did a great job on protecting state land, and her successor does the same. But there's a whole lot when you looked at your map and you isolated one property that was 120 feet wide. That's a wider one. We have properties that are quite a bit narrower, and under the definition of blight or not fulfilling its potential use, that might be something to look at. And when you, you know, when we look at some stuff, I know, what is it, Washoe Med still has, or Renown has some property on South Carson Street that they talked about in 2004 building things. Maybe we need to start focusing this on what to do with those properties that are, without combining them, are really not fulfilling their stated use or potential use.
Well, and Lee, I think, too, since we have to notice all the folks in redevelopment area too, that might be take advantage of that time and opportunity to discuss the bid concept, bid improvement district, because then you're reaching majority of those people, those landowners, as well as business owners, and getting that message out to drive further development in those particular areas and further refurb in those areas, plus their marketing capability that they could elect to do.
I have a question, Lee, in reading through all of this. This was great information, old information, but great information. And your whole goal and objective at the time was the car dealerships primarily. And as a result of that, you have a lot of ancillary businesses now, tire stores and all kinds of things that have come in, mostly unsolicited. What is your vision? I think you have to have a vision first to be able to go and show them. I mean, it's coming together as I see it. That's where the synergy is in Carson City.
Yeah, I wasn't directed to give you my vision, but
well, I was going to go through.
No, but I think, yeah, I mean, I could go out and write a plan. And present it to you and see what you think. I think in, you know, how we've done things in Carson City and the planning department and putting plans together in the past has engaged the community. That doesn't mean we can do things like, and I put those up there again. Like if we kind of agree that that's the direction to help facilitate development on the irregularly shaped parcels and up also on here is to facilitate creation of a business improvement district and tell them here's the kind of things we're thinking about going towards, and you know, give us, if you have comments and if you have input on this, you know, let us know. Well, I think the Carson City master plan, you know, I was thinking about that and showing you what the master plan says for the areas and the designations, which is some mixed-use commercial, some just commercial. But, I mean, I think that's still a valid long-term vision for the corridors, too. And I think that, you know, that should probably be incorporated into the whole picture of what we see for the future.
Well, Do we have a list of all of the vacant sites that are in redevelopment too? Be kind of interesting. Are we talking about we have 30 vacancies, 50 vacancies, 100 vacancies? If we're going to...
Definitely not. The state of Nevada only owns 1% of the property in Nevada, and they're not going to give anything up. Plus, that is the stated site for the Nevada Highway Patrol. That's what's going in there. So to answer your question, N-O spells no.
Lee, the other thing that I thought of when you were discussing this was the fact that possibly you'd, and the number would be minimal, of notifying the various organizations that are kind of in service an umbrella for some of these areas, whether it's the Chamber, the Downtown Merchants Association, whatever it is. It'd be just another four letters or something that would go out sending, notifying them, because there's always a possibility somebody doesn't see or read the paper that isn't a property owner who may have some valuable insights or input into the process.
You know, I think maybe that part of what we do, because we know how state lands are, as a Pam Wilcox did a great job on protecting state land, and her successor does the same. But there's a whole lot when you looked at your map and you isolated one property that was 120 feet wide. That's a wider one. We have properties that are quite a bit narrower, and under the definition of blight or not fulfilling its potential use, that might be something to look at. And when you, you know, when we look at some stuff, I know, what is it, Washoe Med still has, or Renown has some property on South Carson Street that they talked about in 2004 building things. Maybe we need to start focusing this on what to do with those properties that are, without combining them, are really not fulfilling their stated use or potential use.
Well, and Lee, I think too, since we have to notice all the folks in redevelopment area too, that might be take advantage of that time and opportunity to discuss the bid concept, bid improvement district, because then you're reaching majority of those people, those landowners, as well as business owners, and getting that message out to drive further development in those particular areas and further refurb in those areas, plus their marketing capability that they could elect to do.
I have a question, Lee. In reading through all of this, this was great information, old information, but great information. And your whole goal and objective at the time was the car dealerships primarily. And as a result of that, you have a lot of ancillary businesses now, tire stores and all kinds of things that have come in, mostly unsolicited. What is your vision? I think you have to have a vision first to be able to go and show them. I mean, it's coming together as I see it. That's where the synergy is in Carson City.
Yeah, I wasn't directed to give you my vision, but
well, I was going to go through.
No, but I think, yeah, I mean, I could go out and write a plan and present it to you and see what you think. I think in, you know, how we've done things in Carson City and the planning department and putting plans together in the past has been, has engaged the community. That doesn't mean we can do things like, and I put those up there again, like if we kind of agree that that's the direction to help facilitate development on the irregularly shaped parcels and up also on here is to facilitate creation of a business improvement district and tell them here's the kind of things you were thinking about going towards, and you know, give us, if you have comments and if you have input on this, you know, let us know. I think the Carson City master plan, you know, I was thinking about that and showing you what the master plan says for the areas and the designations, which is some mixed use commercial, some just commercial. But I mean, I think that's still a valid long-term vision for the corridors too. And I think that, you know, that should probably be incorporated into the whole picture of what we see for the future.
Well, Do we have a list of all of the vacant sites that are in redevelopment too? Be kind of interesting. Are we talking about we have 30 vacancies, 50 vacancies, 100 vacancies? If we're going to try to shape a long-term goal over the next 20 to 30 years, it's like how many irregularly shaped parcels do we have? How many vacants? Because maybe we, again, want to do something of importance and something that will make a difference, and where can we truly have an impact instead of a little pocket or a pot. You know, sometimes concentrating your effort over a 10-year period actually accomplishes something. So do we have any idea what we actually have?
Not right now I don't. But that's something we could, some data we could pull for the conversation as well. How many vacant sites, and I'd have to think about where to get the information, but also existing commercial buildings where vacancies, actual sites and buildings.
Most of your west side of that area is pretty full. I think there's only one vacant lot. That's over by the craft store.
Michaels.
Whatever the name of it is. It's the east side that has the odd lots and the funny little buildings and the gun places, and I love gun places, you know, in case anybody's watching. But, they are just odd. It's just an odd little grouping, and it's going to be interesting to try to figure out what you want there. I think you have to have some kind of guideline of, I mean, things are filling in anyway, Big O Tires and all of those, they're filling in anyway as the market allows, because that's where everybody wants to be. They're all hangers-on, if you will, of, you know, the auto dealers.
We do have a lot of vacancies in smaller areas when you have Ribeiro's thing out by, off of Cochise, and you have off of roads between Carson and Curry and all that stuff where the party market used to be. And there's a whole lot of new construction that are vacant and things like that. And maybe this is, and you have over where Grand Central Pizza was, there's a lot of vacancies there. And then you have Carson City, Don Weir's Carson City Dodge, which became the Toyota dealership. And that's still vacant there. And there's people looking at it. But when you start looking at all the isolated little areas and stuff, there gets to be a pretty big number. And I would say we probably have in excess of probably 30 areas that are down there that aren't as big as the other ones. And of course, Carson Jeep Nissan's still vacant, and they're building the new AutoZone there.
No, they're not. Don't you know what's in there? The Liquidators is in there.
Oh, the Liquidators are moving in there off
you
of Highway 15?
You didn't. No, you need to get south sometime.
I wasn't there except for today when I had lunch down south. But there's a lot more places that are vacant down there, and that might be another opportunity when you look at where Einstein Bagels is going to go in, where the barbecue place was and things like that. Maybe that would be a good instead now. But that might be a good area for looking into in business improvement district as well to help the smaller merchants that aren't the big box stores and the Mervins and the Pennies and all that kind of stuff to help them out as well.
And Lee, one thing that has kind of gotten us into trouble in the past and I think should be reconsidered, and that's page 37 of 39 in the big document about the redevelopment district. It states the redevelopment authority may solicit and consider proposals from persons who are not owners, provided that the proposals from owners have priority over proposals from non-owners. And this got us into trouble just recently, and because there's no collateral, you don't want to take someone's home, and I'm not going to mention names, but I'm thinking that whole thought process needs to be rethought out.
What page? Is there a page?
I've got
page 37 and the 39 page pocket.
This is in the big original redevelopment plan, commercial redevelopment.
Oh, it doesn't.
Is there another page number on there besides a copy page number?
It's on 36.
36, okay.
Yeah.
Karen, is this part of the packet we received, or is this something you had before?
Yeah, it is. No, it's the same packet you received.
Page 36.
Page 36.
So it's the last page of the
plan.
Yeah.
So, Lee, in terms of that, I think we need to rethink how we offer incentives as well. You know, that perhaps it should be business owners and or property owners and not just business owners.
Not the renters.
Not the renters.
Try to shape a long-term goal over the next 20 to 30 years. It's like, how many irregularly shaped parcels do we have? How many vacants? Because maybe we, again, want to do something of importance and something that'll make a difference, and where can we truly have an impact instead of a little pocket or a pot, you know, sometimes concentrating your effort over a 10-year period actually accomplishes something. So do we have any idea what we actually have?
Not right now I don't, but that's something we could, some data we could pull for the conversation as well. How many vacant sites, and I'd have to think about where to get the information, but also existing commercial buildings where vacancies, actual sites and buildings.
Most of your west side of that area is pretty full. I think there's only one vacant lot. That's over by the craft store.
Michael's.
Whatever the name of it is. It's the east side that has the odd lots and the funny little buildings and the gun places, and I love gun places, you know, in case anybody's watching. But, you know, I mean, they are just odd. It's just an odd little grouping, and it's going to be interesting to try to figure out what you want there. I think you have to have some kind of guideline of, I mean, things are filling in anyway, Big O Tires and all of those, they're filling in anyway as the market allows, because that's where everybody wants to be. They're all hangers-on, if you will, of, you know, the auto dealers.
We do have a lot of vacancies in smaller areas. When you have Ribeiro's thing out off of Cochise, and you have off of roads between Carson and Curry and all that stuff where the party market used to be, and there's a whole lot of new construction that are vacant and things like that. And maybe this is, and you have over where Grand Central Pizza was, there's a lot of vacancies there. And then you have Carson City Dodge, which became the Toyota dealership, and that's still vacant there, and there's people looking at it. But when you start looking at all the isolated little areas and stuff, there gets to be a pretty big number, and I would say we probably have in excess of probably 30 areas that are down there that aren't as big as the other ones, and of course Carson Jeep Nissan's still vacant, and they're building the new auto zone there.
No, they're not. Don't you know what's in there? The Liquidators is in there.
Oh, the Liquidators are moving in there off
you
of Highway 15.
You didn't. No, you need to get south sometime.
I wasn't there except for today when I had lunch down south. But there's a lot more places that are vacant down there, and that might be another opportunity when you look at where Einstein Bagels is going to go in, where the barbecue place was and things like that. Maybe this would be a good instead now. And but that might be a good area for looking into in business improvement district as well to help the smaller merchants that aren't the big box stores and the Mervins and the Pennies and all that kind of stuff, to help them out as well.
And Lee, one thing that has kind of gotten us into trouble in the past and I think should be reconsidered, and that's page 37 of 39 in the big document about the redevelopment district. It states the redevelopment authority may solicit and consider proposals from persons who are not owners, provided that the proposals from owners have priority over proposals from non-owners. And this got us into trouble just recently, and because there's no collateral, you don't want to take someone's home, and I'm not going to mention names, but I'm thinking that whole thought process needs to be rethought out.
What page? Is there a page?
I've got
page 37 and the 39 page pocket.
This is in the big original redevelopment plan, commercial redevelopment.
Oh, it doesn't.
Is there another page number on there besides a copy page number?
It's on 36.
36,
okay. Yeah.
Karen, is this part of the packet we received, or is this something you had before?
It is. No, it's the same packet you received.
Page 36.
Page 36.
So it's the last page of the
plan. Yeah. So, Lee, in terms of that, I think we need to rethink how we offer incentives as well. You know, that perhaps it should be business owners and or property owners and not just business owners.
Not the renters.
I'd like to add one thing, too, to a comment that you had about some of the vacant buildings. I will tell you one of the major reasons that those buildings are vacant is because of the rent costs. Ribeiro and all, they're very pricey, and they've been showing them a lot. There's a lot of interest, but people can't afford them in this market. So.
And there's, and on that note, there's also been about, I think, on commercial properties, there was a straight across the board, 35% from the Board of Equalization for commercial properties on, and so they are lowering the tax bases based on lack of occupancy and revenue, but you know, a lot of those buildings are quite new, and so that's always a part of the equation when you're looking at the economics.
What are the guidelines for them to maintain the property to community standards?
Good question.
And to prevent blight. Is there some way that the owners are forced to be involved if they aren't being involved right now? For example, when Ronnie's saying that the property rents are high, and I agree that they are, I've looked into several of them myself. You know, what's the incentive for the owners or managers of these properties to properly price them to get places that are rented and leased and up to a community standard, and maybe fined if they're not? That was it.
I don't think you want government involved in that. I'm looking at blight from something completely different. On the east side, you have those vacant properties that you were talking about, you know, the funny properties that really should be maintained, and they are not. But you and I have gone around on this, and we don't have any standards to speak of.
Right. Just a couple of points to that. In terms of what we can address is nuisances. I mean, in terms of letting the weeds grow 3 feet high, but I mean, you're right, but it kind of has to be pretty, we've had this, the discussion we've had, it actually, by code, has to be pretty bad before the city can get involved. But I don't, you know, but in terms of, well, and in terms of rent control, as far as somebody that is not involved with redevelopment in the city and not in some sort of agreement, you know, I mean, they're on their own, that's a private business decision when it may come into play, and their responsibility to maintain the property may be a little better. That's where it can be in the agreement. That's when the city actually enters into the redevelopment agreement with somebody like, you know, the whole property, the properties, and, you know, Campani properties, the auto dealerships, that can have something in there about maintaining the property. And now by contract, we have better enforcement to be able to require ongoing maintenance.
Well, we also have to keep in mind that city staff has been cut. City coffers are lower. We need more money, and to increase code enforcement would mean more bodies, increased taxes, more on the services, more on the load of the city that's already doing. And I don't think there's an appetite for code enforcement to get 5 or 10 more people that it would probably take to go after all of this stuff, because it is pretty tricky, and you are telling private property owners what they have to do, and there's a lot of there's always a lot of backlash, because I don't like somebody coming to my property and telling me what I should do in their eyes. You know, it's all based on economics and what we can afford to do. And going on Karen Ebaud's comments about, I think that if it's, irregardless if it's a tenant or the property owner doing something, I think where it sits, the property owner needs to be involved, because I don't like the idea of having to come down on somebody's personal residence and things like that. So, I mean, I think if we make that stronger where You know, there's been a number of instances in redevelopment area number one where the property owner did not want to participate, so that the tenant was not able to do that. And a lot of those, some of those tenants have been successful even without the redevelopment funding.
One more comment. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the former Toyota dealer has been repainted, which is a good thing. So talk about one blight, at least. I'd like to add one thing, too, to a comment that you had about some of the vacant buildings. I will tell you one of the major reasons that those buildings are vacant is because of the rent costs. Ribeiro and all, they're very pricey, and they've been showing them a lot. There's a lot of interest, but people can't afford them in this market. So.
And on that note, there's also been about, I think, on commercial properties, there was a straight across the board, 35% from the Board of Equalization for commercial properties on, and so they are lowering the tax bases based on lack of occupancy and revenue, but you know, a lot of those buildings are quite new, and so that's always a part of the equation when you're looking at the economics.
What are the guidelines for them to maintain the property to community standards?
Good question.
And to prevent blight. Is there some way that the owners are forced to be involved if they aren't being involved right now? For example, when Ronnie's saying that the property rents are high, and I agree that they are, I've looked into several of them myself. You know, what's the incentive for the owners or managers of these properties to properly price them to get places that are rented and leased and up to a community standard, and maybe fined if they're not? That was it.
I don't think you want government involved in that. I'm looking at blight from something completely different. On the east side, you have those vacant properties that you were talking about, you know, the funny properties that really should be maintained, and they are not. But you and I have gone around on this, and you don't have any standards to speak of.
Right. Just a couple of points to that. In terms of what we can address is nuisances. I mean, in terms of letting the weeds grow 3 feet high, but I mean, you're right, but it kind of has to be pretty, we've had this, the discussion we've had, it actually, by code, has to be pretty bad before the city can get involved. But I don't, you know, but in terms of, well, and in terms of rent control, as far as somebody that is not involved with redevelopment in the city and not in some sort of agreement, you know, I mean, they're on their own, that's a private business decision when it may come into play, and their responsibility to maintain the property may be a little better. That's where it can be in the agreement. That's when the city actually enters into the redevelopment agreement with somebody, like, you know, the whole property, the properties, and, you know, Campani properties, the auto dealerships, that can have something in there about maintaining the property. And now by contract, we have better enforcement to be able to require ongoing maintenance.
Well, we also have to keep in mind that city staff has been cut, city coffers are lower, we need more money, and to increase code enforcement would mean more bodies, increased taxes, more on the services, more on the load of the city that's already doing it. I don't think there's an appetite for code enforcement to get 5 or 10 more people that it would probably take to go after all of this stuff, because it is pretty tricky, and you are telling private property owners what they have to do, and there's a lot of there's always a lot of backlash, because I don't like somebody coming to my property and telling me what I should do in their eyes. You know, it's all based on economics and what we can afford to do. And going on Karen Ebaud's comments about, I think that if it's, irregardless if it's a tenant or the property owner doing something, I think where it sits, the property owner needs to be involved, because I don't like the idea of having to come down on somebody's personal residence and things like that. So, I mean, I think if we make that stronger where, you know, there's been a number of instances in redevelopment area number one where the property owner did not want to participate so that the tenant was not able to do that. And a lot of those, some of those tenants have been successful even without the redevelopment funding.
One more comment. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the former Toyota dealer has been repainted, which is a good thing. So talk about one blight, at least, that is done. And the other thing, too, is that the city, through the Department of Alternative Sentencing, is really on it when it comes to graffiti. So and we are getting them out there as well to pick up trash and the whole bit. I mean, you do what you have to do when you can, but I don't know. I'd like to sort of like, I think South Carson has some challenges still. I think part of that is the economy. I think our really, but for the most part, that's where we get most of our tax money through the automotive dealers. So it's working pretty well, thanks to the foresight that you guys had years ago. But I really think what we really need to look at more of is the former Kmart building. That whole shopping complex up there has been mostly vacant from the time it was built for, I'm told, many different reasons, but it's never been a viable entity. And the Kmart building has some potential. And Karen, I know you've been involved in some of this talk. But we really need to focus a little bit more on that, I think, than the south end at the moment.
I would agree. And I, again, to address your comments in terms of rents, I had a conversation along with Rob Hooper with the gal that runs the Ski Run Boulevard bid, as well as the lodging bid district up at the lake. And I asked how much pushback they had getting that started, and she said none. And the reason was the business owners are the ones that came to her about getting this set up. And they themselves promoted, whether it be in other communities, they've done 6 months free rent or whatever incentive it might be to get people into their properties and to start that synergy of development. And in informing a bid district, they decided on what they wanted to be, who they were going to be, just like the car dealers have a synergy of businesses that all relate to them in their location. The same thing could apply to the north end where the Kmart building is. So I do think I strongly feel that we need to start thinking in those terms and getting our absentee property owners involved.
Know them better than most of us here do, so you tell me, will they get involved?
All we can do is notice them.
Ask.
That's right.
I've got a follow-up question to your comments. When did they start the bid in Ski Run Boulevard and the other one?
Jed, I want to say it was 2-3 years ago, something like that. And it's been successful.
So it's been in the time that the economy has
mm-hmm.
gone
And they're
south.
Very happy with how it's moved forward. It's made a big difference.
And the other thing I found out today, too, is that whole area that you're talking about, they're afraid of the bypass. They're going to be building a bypass there. So they've gotten together as a result of what may possibly be, because you don't have to go there anymore because it's going to be bypassing the back of the casinos and all of that. So they're being proactive instead of reactive, which is interesting.
That sounds a little like South Carson Street, by the way, mm-hmm. eventually.
Well, it absolutely does. When you talk about taking the left-hand turn before you got to the old, where Montbleu is, I mean, it's virtually a bypass that if you know the route through there, which has been taken for years. It weaves around a Pioneer Trail and gets past there. Much like Curry Street was, trying to get a way around downtown. So you're absolutely right. I mean, there's ways that people, when they don't want to be there, they find their ways around and they weave in and out. And that's, but then it's also scary because it gives people an opportunity to do the bypass that don't know that there's something down there.
Yeah, actually, for that casino core, they they're literally going to build a bypass, not just a, it's not just for the it's not just the locals bypass. That will be where the highway, the four-lane highway, they have plans to go around and hook back up at Pioneer Trail back to Highway 50 and to redevelop that casino core.
Lee, one of the things about this former, you know, plan that you had is there was plenty of money at the time to provide incentives, as I understand it from looking at our budget done. And the other thing, too, is that the city, through the Department of Alternative Sentencing, is really on it when it comes to graffiti. So And we are getting them out there as well to pick up trash and the whole bit. I mean, you do what you have to do when you can, but I don't know. I'd like to sort of like, I think South Carson has some challenges still. I think part of that is the economy. I think our really, but for the most part, that's where we get most of our tax money through the automotive dealers. So it's working pretty well, thanks to the foresight that you guys had years ago. But I really think what we really need to look at more of is the former Kmart building. That whole shopping complex up there has been mostly vacant from the time it was built for, I'm told, many different reasons, but it's never been a viable entity. And the Kmart building has some potential, and Karen, I know that you know, you've been involved in some of this talk, but we really need to focus a little bit more on that, I think, than the south end at the moment.
I would agree, and again, to address your comments in terms of rents, I had a conversation along with Rob Hooper with the gal that runs the Ski Run Boulevard bid, as well as the lodging bid district up at the lake. And I asked how much pushback they had getting that started, and she said none. And the reason was the business owners are the ones that came to her about getting this set up. And they themselves promoted, whether it be in other communities, they've done 6 months free rent, or whatever incentive it might be to get people into their properties and to start that synergy of development. And informing a bid district, they decided on what they wanted to be, who they were going to be, just like the car dealers have a synergy of businesses that all relate to them in their location. The same thing could apply to the north end where the Kmart building is. So I do think I strongly feel that we need to start thinking in those terms and getting our absentee property owners involved.
You know them better than most of us here do, so you tell me, will they get involved?
All we can do is notice them.
Ask.
That's right.
I've got a follow-up question to your comments. When did they start the bid in Ski Run Boulevard and the other one?
Jed, I want to say it was 2-3 years ago, something like that. And it's been successful.
So it's been in the time that the economy has gone
south. And they're very happy with how it's moved forward. It's made a big difference.
And the other thing I found out today, too, is that whole area that you're talking about, they're afraid of the bypass. They're going to be building a bypass there. So they've gotten together as a result of what may possibly be, because you don't have to go there anymore because it's going to be bypassing the back of the casinos and all of that. So they're being proactive instead of reactive, which is interesting.
That sounds a little like South Carson Street, by the way, eventually.
Well, it absolutely does. When you talk about taking the left-hand turn before you got to the old where Montbleu is, I mean, it's virtually a bypass if you know the route through there, which has been taken for years. It weaves around a Pioneer Trail and gets past there, much like Curry Street was, trying to get a way around downtown. So you're absolutely right. I mean, there's ways that people, when they don't want to be there, they find their ways around and they weave in and out, and that's but then it's also scary because it gives people an opportunity to do the bypass that don't know that there's something down there.
Yeah, actually for that casino core, they they're literally going to build a bypass, not just a, it's not just for the it's not just the locals bypass. That will be where the highway, the four-lane highway, they have plans to go around and hook back up at Pioneer Trail back to Highway 50 and to redevelop that casino core.
Lee, one of the things about this former, you know, plan that you had is there were plenty, there was plenty of money at the time to provide incentives. As I understand it from looking at our budget, there's really not any money. I mean, that's really what got things going. What is the incentive other than to talk or bid or whatever? I mean, this is like apples and oranges when you come down to it.
Yeah, and as I mentioned at the beginning, this is so. This is a long-range plan. This has 22 years left, and we I think the idea is that now we're planning for it. It's not. This isn't a whole list of things that we have money to do in the next year or two or five or whatever it may be. But it enables redevelopment to help with these things because it's in the plan. If it's not in the plan, kind of you can't do it. So it has to be in there just to be able to do it.
I think one of the things, too, we could look at is sometimes the incentives we give might need to be a little bit different where it helps both the property owner but the person that's going to actually go into the facility is we could look to let redevelopment pay hookup fees. I know when many entities come in, the water hookup fees are so exorbitant, they don't come. So maybe those are some things we could look at adding into the plan. And so if you're a vacant building and going to do retail, we'll help you with hookup fees or things of those nature, you know, that we get that, those types of incentives. Because that way, again, we don't necessarily have to have someone mortgage their home, but it'll help with a blight or to bring retail into those vacant sites.
I like that idea, but I also think that you might be able to get some of the utility companies to incent with that, you know, like be incentivizing people to do that.
I just know when I did my business, those are some big upfront costs that people have when they come in. They need building permit fees. And sometimes, you know, it sounds crazy, but they've got the money to finance their project maybe, but it's all those other costs that when you're coming in that you don't, I need $12,000 cash to finish that off because you don't finance your building permit. So maybe we could work towards looking for businesses that'll, if they agree to go into one of the vacancies, we have these incentives available.
And I guess I would also comment that that possibility wouldn't necessarily be maybe paying those fees, but if they were city fees or city charges, the city could waive them or prorate them or do some other option which would reduce those initial startup costs, which may be very difficult for a new business.
Prorating would be better. The city still needs the money.
Which is why I said actually redevelopment would pay the city fee to the right fund. You just move from the correct funds. But you could always do sliding scales. You could do things if your contract's X number of years, you get this much. If it's only a one-year contract, you know, you can only get this percentage. So maybe we do sliding scales based on number of years they're signing their leases and things like that.
On the banking end of it, I talk to a lot of the small mom and pops that are trying to fund and do, and that's exactly what they're having difficulty with. A lot of them is they're ready for their business part, but they weren't expecting all these other fees that they have to deal with. And just even to do it, we do need the money. Mm-hmm. So prorating is great. Prorating, I like it.
Good. Okay, so Lee, what do you want? And we've discussed this to death. There's no money. We want to prorate. We want to encourage business.
Yeah, and again, maybe this is good coming back around and reminding this. So this is kind of the big picture long-range plan. Like we're maybe starting to get a little specifics, although I could see writing that into number one there, like such as helping with hookup fees and things. This isn't the plan to decide exactly how to do those things. Think, keep thinking more big picture for this. You know, that brings up the point that, as you saw in the budget, there's a little bit of capital improvements money. At some point, we're all going to have to figure out what we might want to do with that. That's another discussion. But that's kind of, when you have a plan like this, here's some possible options of things that these might be due. What kind of incentive programs do we want to initiate as a capital improvements and things? So that's a little bit more detailed discussion.
There's really not any money. I mean, that's really what got things going. What is the incentive other than to talk or bid or whatever? I mean, this is like apples and oranges when you come down to it.
Yeah, and as I mentioned at the beginning, this is a long-range plan. This has 22 years left, and I think the idea is that now we're planning for it. This isn't a whole list of things that we have money to do in the next year or two or five or whatever it may be, but it enables redevelopment to help with these things because it's in the plan. If it's not in the plan, kind of you can't do it, so it has to be in there just to be able to do it.
Well, I think one of the things, too, we could look at is sometimes the incentives we give might need to be a little bit different where it helps both the property owner but the person that's going to actually go into the facility is we could look to let redevelopment pay hookup fees. I know when many entities come in, the water hookup fees are so exorbitant, they don't come. So maybe those are some things we could look at adding into the plan. And so if you're a vacant building and going to do retail, we'll help you with hookup fees or things of those nature, you know, that we get those types of incentives. Because that way, again, we don't necessarily have to have someone mortgage their home, but it'll help with a blight or to bring retail into those vacant sites.
I like that idea, but I also think that you might be able to get some of the utility companies to incent with that, you know, like be incentivizing people to do that.
I just know when I did my business, those are some big upfront costs that people have when they come in. They need building permit fees. And sometimes, you know, it sounds crazy, but they've got the money to finance their project maybe, but it's all those other costs that when you're coming in that you don't, I need $12,000 cash to finish that off because you don't finance your building permit. So maybe we could work towards looking for businesses that'll, if they agree to go into one of the vacancies, we have these incentives available.
And I guess I would also comment that possibility wouldn't necessarily be maybe paying those fees, but if they were city fees or city charges, the city could waive them or prorate them or do some other option which would reduce those initial startup costs, which may be very difficult for a new business.
Prorating would be better. The city still needs the money.
Which is why I said actually redevelopment would pay the city fee to the right fund. You just move from the correct funds. But you could always do sliding scales. You could do things if your contract's X number of years, you get this much. If it's only a one-year contract, you know, you can only get this percentage. So maybe we do sliding scales based on number of years they're signing their leases and things like that.
On the banking end of it, I talk to a lot of the small mom and pops that are trying to fund and do, and that's exactly what they're having difficulty with. A lot of them is they're ready for their business part, but they weren't expecting all these other fees that they have to deal with. And just even to do it, we do need the money. Mm-hmm. So prorating is great. Prorating, I like it.
Good. Okay, so Lee, what do you want? And we've discussed this to death. There's no money. We want to prorate. We want to encourage business.
Yeah, and again, maybe this is good coming back around and reminding this. So this is kind of the big picture, long-range plan. Like we're maybe starting to get in little specifics, although I could see writing that into number one there, like such as helping with hookup fees and things. This isn't the plan to decide exactly how to do those things. Think keep thinking more big picture for this. You know, that brings up the point that, as you saw in the budget, there's a little bit of capital improvements money. At some point, we're all going to have to figure out what we might want to do with that. That's another discussion. But that's kind of, when you have a plan like this, here's some possible options of things that these might be due. What kind of incentive programs do we want to initiate as a capital improvements and things? So that's a little bit more detailed discussion than we probably need to have, although that's good, and like I said, I can write some of that into here, so I appreciate that comment. So I think, back to your question then, what I want to get out of this is certainly the comments that you've given me, and are we on the right track? Is this reasonable for RAC to give me direction to go ahead and kind of start scheduling things based on this schedule and process? So with the motion, I've heard all your comments. I don't think you can make those into a motion, but it is possible action to direct staff on this. So if ultimately you want to proceed with this, if you can have a motion to direct staff to proceed with the proposed process as presented to amend redevelopment area number 2, that would send me off to work on this and come back to RAC in August with some public comments on this information.
Lee, I have no trouble with the little layout. The one other thing that it just bothered me. It didn't bother me, but it hit me, was how focused the plan is on the automotive arena. And I guess as somebody who might be in another area, and I understand the need to push that initiative, but is there a need to soften some of that so that it opens the door a little wider to other types of businesses? It just seems very focused.
Yeah, it would seem as part of it that a lot of these yellow ones that are auto dealer related could be combined. Really, a lot of them are really the same thing. They're helping the auto dealers. But if you're saying it kind of feels overweighted towards that, and I mean, just okay, but
it's just a gut feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that, as you write that into the plan, how it looks, and all, I think based on the comments we get, how we incorporate it, we can make it look more balanced. And I think that's why we got the direction to do this to start with, is that it is, no question, it's auto dealer focused right now.
You know, maybe, you know, I think what we're looking at is getting away from the one-shot incentives for this person or that location, but maybe looking more towards infrastructure. And do we need to look at between area 1 and 2 on how much special event funding, if we need to figure out if we really want to keep funding special events or if we're really interested in bringing in more business and more opportunities and increasing the property tax because of the improvements, and to bring in more sales tax because we have more retail that's going to bring more money to the city of Carson. And of course, if we're doing that, then there's probably going to be more potential for ways of having more grant money for separate things out of redevelopment. But I mean, I really think that one of the things we need to look at is softening it with auto dealerships, but look at infrastructure. You know, if you go historically back on when the Stewart family opened Stu Sportatorium, they had $100,000, but it was the infrastructure that was behind on Curry Street that needed to be upgraded for that, and it really didn't benefit the Stewart family per se, but it really brought up to speed the infrastructure that's under the street there. That it's nice to do it when you can do it as an incentive project and not when you're doing it because something broke.
Well, I think redevelopment area 2 hasn't really benefited from any of the events monies anyway. You know, it would be really nice if they could down at Fuji Park with the, but that's a whole other story, you know. So I'm not sure if that's it. I agree. One of the problems that I have heard over and over and over again is most of the buildings in Carson City, and you alluded to that, are owned by someone somewhere other than Carson City. So, for example, when Ralph Swagler came in and opened his business, his barbecue business, he was taken aback with all the infrastructure improvements that he had to make for that particular business that he would never get back. I mean, it was thousands upon thousands upon thousands because of permits and all kinds of other stuff. And I don't know whether, and I'm thinking that is, right, that's what you're talking about. That's where I think we need to help a little bit more. And then again, I'm sorry, but I'm a one-note Sally tonight, and that is North Carson City. If we could sit down with some of the owners up there and try to figure out what it is that they need to get things going. You know, they're pretty frustrated with a lot of things. Part of it,
we probably need to have, although that's good, and I, like I said, I can write some of that into here, so I appreciate that comment. So I think, back to your question then, what I want to get out of this is certainly the comments that you've given me, and are we on the right track? Is this reasonable for RAC to give me direction to go ahead and kind of start scheduling things based on this schedule and process? So with the motion, I've heard all your comments. I don't think you can make those into a motion, but it is possible action to direct staff on this. So if ultimately you want to proceed with this, if you can have a motion to direct staff to proceed with the proposed process as presented to amend redevelopment area number 2, that would send me off to work on this and come back to RAC in August with some public comments on this information.
Lee, I have no trouble with the little layout. The one other thing that it just bothered me. It didn't bother me, but it hit me, was how focused the plan is on the automotive arena. And I guess as somebody who might be in another area, and I understand the need to push that initiative, but is there a need to soften some of that so that it opens the door a little wider to other types of businesses? It just seems very focused.
Yeah, it would seem as part of it that a lot of these yellow ones that are auto dealer related could be combined. Really, a lot of them are really the same thing. They're helping the auto dealers. But if you're saying it kind of feels overweighted towards that, and I mean, just okay, but
it's just a gut feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that as you write that into the plan, how it looks, and all. I think based on the comments we get, how we incorporate it, we can make it look more balanced. And I think that's why we got the direction to do this to start with, is that it is, no question, it's auto dealer focused right now.
You know, maybe, you know, I think what we're looking at is getting away from the one-shot incentives for this person or that location, but maybe looking more towards infrastructure. And do we need to look at between area 1 and 2 on how much special event funding, if we need to figure out if we really want to keep funding special events or if we're really interested in bringing in more business and more opportunities and increasing the property tax because of the improvements, and to bring in more sales tax because we have more retail that's going to bring more money to the city of Carson. And of course, if we're doing that, then there's probably going to be more potential for ways of having more grant money for separate things out of redevelopment. But I mean, I really think that one of the things we need to look at is softening it with auto dealerships, but look at infrastructure. You know, if you go historically back on when the Stewart family opened Stu Sportatorium, they had $100,000, but it was the infrastructure that was behind on Curry Street that needed to be upgraded for that. And it really didn't benefit the Stewart family per se, but it really brought up to speed the infrastructure that's under the street there. That it's nice to do it when you can do it as an incentive project and not when you're doing it because something broke.
Well, I think redevelopment area 2 hasn't really benefited from any of the events monies anyway. You know, it would be really nice if they could down at Fuji Park with the... But that's a whole other story, you know. So I'm not sure if that's it. I agree. One of the problems that I have heard over and over and over again is most of the buildings in Carson City, and you alluded to that, are owned by someone somewhere other than Carson City. So, for example, when Ralph Swagler came in and opened his business, his barbecue business, he was taken aback with all the infrastructure improvements that he had to make for that particular business that he would never get back. I mean, it was thousands upon thousands upon thousands because of permits and all kinds of other stuff. And I don't know whether, and I'm thinking that is, right, that's what you're talking about. That's where I think we need to help a little bit more. And then again, I'm sorry, but I'm a one-note Sally tonight, and that is North Carson City. If we could sit down with some of the owners up there and try to figure out what it is that they need to get things going. You know, they're pretty frustrated with a lot of things, part of it being the lack of enthusiasm, if you will. You know, when we worked with the car dealers, it was a lot of enthusiasm. There was a lot of, you know, we've got to keep the money in Carson City. We've got to keep the money in Carson City because we felt that they were going to be leaving and we'd lose a lot. In North Carson, there is no there's no money coming in at all, but there is a potential that there's a lot of money that could come in that would impact an awful lot of businesses. So I agree with you. It seems really weighted, you know, what we're looking at tonight to the car dealers. And maybe that's one thing we really need to look at. Sit down with them, say, what do you need? How can we get this thing going?
Ronnie, the one thing that did happen, which I'm surprised the event center didn't jump on, the city was willing to split the cost of a feasibility study for making that happen. And they started that conversation, and it went nowhere.
Oh, Karen, I need to sit with you. No, I understand that, and that was not what was stuck in this man's craw, okay? There were a lot of other things, but, I mean, I don't think this is the time or the place for that kind of stuff. But I think that we have so, in the past, gone so aggressively on certain projects, and we're not aggressively pursuing this as a city. And there is some possibility here, and I think maybe Lee, as the Office of Business Development, maybe we need to, and I know he's met with you, okay, but I think maybe we need to have a little bit of a softer touch. Somebody mentioned a softer touch, and say, what do you need? I mean, you know, and personalities aside, this is a possibility that it could go. It's not a dead issue. So there's a lot more to it than that, and I know what's going on, but I just think we need to look a little bit more at North Carson, at that development and everything within the area.
I think if we update the plan to say that it's, for instance, as an example, that we're going to concentrate on any vacant building in redevelopment area two, I think something that we miss out oftentimes in this city is we get focused on something that's in front of us and we miss the big picture. And so to me, the big picture is in the redevelopment plans, and it should be about, doesn't matter what the business is, when it's presented to us, we'll look at it, but that the plan itself says we want new business and we want business in Carson City. And it doesn't matter who you are, we're gonna let you come forward with your plan to approach us. And so I agree with the concept of taking out any specific type of business and just leaving it to our wanting to fill vacant and blight within our city. And we welcome everyone to the table to bring us a plan so that everybody gets equal jubilance that they're wanting to come to our city. And so if we can take some of the focus out about a specific type of business, I think we'd be well on our way to the right avenue.
I would say that would also include the franchises, because any type of business we want to encourage to go down there. And you know, in the past, we've only, you know, most of this board's only focused on the old Carson City, and we've never really had to focus on South Carson Street. And if we're going to do that, then we should probably take an overall approach to redevelopment rather than kind of section it off section by section by section. You know, what does this street need? What does this block need? probably have, you know, and I know we need to give better incentives for businesses to come in. I think that waiving city fees or doing some sort of, maybe if we do some sort of an analysis of what we could do with transfer costs, you know, from like redevelopment to community development, small businesses are going to have a hard time financing permits because they have no tangible asset value that they can loan against. So that's one of the major problems that you've got, you know, with getting a loan to start up a small business, and therefore businesses can't get loans. I think that this is a step in the right direction. You have to
the lack of enthusiasm, if you will. You know, when we worked with the car dealers, it was a lot of enthusiasm. There was a lot of, you know, we've got to keep the money in Carson City. We've got to keep the money in Carson City because we felt that they were going to be leaving and we'd lose a lot. In North Carson, there is no there's no money coming in at all, but there is a potential that there's a lot of money that could come in that would impact an awful lot of businesses. So I agree with you. It seems really weighted, you know, what we're looking at tonight to the car dealers. And maybe that's one thing we really need to look at. Sit down with them, say, what do you need? How can we get this thing going?
Ronnie, the one thing that did happen, which I'm surprised the event center didn't jump on, the city was willing to split the cost of a feasibility study for making that happen. And they started that conversation, and it went nowhere.
Oh, Karen, I need to sit with you. No, I understand that, and that was not what was stuck in this man's craw, okay? There were a lot of other things, but, I mean, I don't think this is the time or the place for that kind of stuff. But I think that we have so, in the past, gone so aggressively on certain projects, and we're not aggressively pursuing this as a city. And there is some possibility here, and I think maybe Lee, as the Office of Business Development, maybe we need to, and I know he's met with you, okay, but I think maybe we need to have a little bit of a softer touch. Somebody mentioned a softer touch, and say, what do you need? I mean, you know, and personalities aside, this is a possibility that it could go. It's not a dead issue. So there's a lot more to it than that, and I know what's going on, but I just think we need to look a little bit more at North Carson, at that development and everything within the area.
I think if we update the plan to say that it's, for instance, as an example, that we're going to concentrate on any vacant building in redevelopment area two, I think something that we miss out oftentimes in this city is we get focused on something that's in front of us and we miss the big picture. And so to me, the big picture is in the redevelopment plans, and it should be about, doesn't matter what the business is, when it's presented to us, we'll look at it, but that the plan itself says we want new business and we want business in Carson City. And it doesn't matter who you are, we're going to let you come forward with your plan to approach us. And so I agree with the concept of taking out any specific type of business and just leaving it to our wanting to fill vacant and blight within our city. And we welcome everyone to the table to bring us a plan so that everybody gets equal jubilance that they're wanting to come to our city. And so if we can take some of the focus out about a specific type of business, I think we'd be well on our way to the right avenue.
I would say that would also include the franchises, because any type of business we want to encourage to go down there. And, you know, in the past, we've only, you know, most of this board's only focused on the old Carson City, and we've never really had to focus on South Carson Street. And if we're going to do that, then we should probably take an overall approach to redevelopment rather than kind of section it off section by section by section. You know, what does this street need? What does this block need? probably have, you know, and I know we need to give better incentives for businesses to come in. I think that waiving city fees or doing some sort of, maybe if we do some sort of an analysis of what we could do with transfer costs, you know, from like redevelopment to community development, small businesses are going to have a hard time financing permits because they have no tangible asset value that they can loan against. So that's one of the major problems that you've got, you know, with getting a loan to start up a small business, and therefore businesses can't get loans. I think that this is a step in the right direction. You have to take a stab at something somewhere. But I just think it's too narrow.
Let me, back in 1986 when we started redevelopment area number one, there was 23 vacant buildings. There's not 23 vacant buildings anymore. And the need has obviously changed, and most redevelopment districts last about 20, 22 years, maybe 30. Well, downtown area one's gonna be 45 years. But maybe this is the opportunity to revisit Area 1 and 2 and maybe sunset some of Area 1, because we can't increase the size of Area 1 at this point. But if we sunset some of the areas in Area 1 and start moving to the north end of town where there is a lot of blight, there is a lot of vacancies, there's a lot of old buildings, a lot of old infrastructure, you know, maybe this is the time, to start looking at this whole overall picture, because 1986 was a long time ago, and we're still wrestling with the downtown area, which has had many, many successes. And to be able to move farther north, we're going to have to get rid of parcel to parcel. I don't know how that would be accomplished, but maybe this is a good opportunity to reevaluate everything since we have a full complement for Area 1 and 2.
I'd like to interrupt here before this gets too far down. Just a couple things. So, by state, we have a redevelopment area number 2 that has very specific boundaries. We're required to have a plan that applies to the properties within that area. That's task number 1, that we need to adopt a plan. I mean, that's great that we need to do other things other places. Maybe if we get through amending this plan, move on to the next one.
Point well taken. Yes.
But by state law, we need to have a plan that applies to this area. We need to have policies that does this. And so, yeah, I appreciate all the comments, permits versus, and I think the cost is not necessarily the permits, but the cost of extending the infrastructure on a lot of these properties within this area to get there. So that's, again, infrastructure, and I got some ideas to incorporate that in there. And then in terms of focus, I think it applies to the Kmart, and it's not intended not to, and if this says we need to get replace our vacant buildings in or get tenants in our vacant buildings in Area 2, that means Kmart in addition to the other places. So that's in there, and we can make sure that that's in there. In terms of the auto focus on South Carson Street, there was a lot of discussion on that, and there's a reason why it is South Carson Street is a focus that the dealers want to have that synergy and have them and bring them to South Carson Street. So in that sense, that's the one area of focus where auto dealers, because the majority of the area is South Carson Street of the redevelopment area, that I still think those references to focusing auto dealers on South Carson Street, maybe that changes. Maybe that has changed since then. I kind of have a feeling that the auto dealers still want to have that synergy of the regional auto mall down there, though. And so I really didn't plan on identifying that as part of the strategy still.
I think if we go back and look at the importance, and don't forget the importance of how redevelopment area 2 came about, and you're right, we do need to focus in this meeting on area number 2 and not north, middle, anywhere else.
I'm going to say that if we concentrate on filling vacant buildings, we're going to have growth in our city, and I think our auto dealers will be ecstatic. because it will generate more business for them too. And I think that what we're trying to say is we accomplished the goal that we had, unless there's some more goals of the auto dealers that, you know, maybe we're not aware of. But we've certainly made that hub down there and created that. So I think even they would be interested in what's across the street from them, what's down. So I don't think we're doing a disservice to them by moving it into a general comment that redevelopment area 2 needs to concentrate its next 10 years or 15 years on filling vacancies. I don't think that will be a disservice to the auto. I think they're going to be thrilled if we can figure out what to do with some of those buildings.
Okay. Stab at something somewhere. But I just think it's too narrow.
Let me, back in 1986 when we started redevelopment area number one, there was 23 vacant buildings. There's not 23 vacant buildings anymore. And the need has obviously changed, and most redevelopment districts last about 20, 22 years, maybe 30. Well, downtown area one's gonna be 45 years. But maybe this is the opportunity to revisit Area 1 and 2 and maybe sunset some of Area 1, because we can't increase the size of Area 1 at this point. But if we sunset some of the areas in Area 1 and start moving to the north end of town where there is a lot of blight, there is a lot of vacancies, there's a lot of old buildings, a lot of old infrastructure, you know, maybe this is the time, to start looking at this whole overall picture, because 1986 was a long time ago, and we're still wrestling with the downtown area, which has had many, many successes. And to be able to move farther north, we're going to have to get rid of parcel to parcel. I don't know how that would be accomplished, but maybe this is a good opportunity to reevaluate everything since we have a full complement for Area 1 and 2.
I'd like to interrupt here before this gets too far down. Just a couple things. So, we have a redevelopment area number 2 that has very specific boundaries. We're required to have a plan that applies to the properties within that area. That's task number 1, that we need to adopt a plan. I mean, that's great that we need to do other things other places. Maybe if we get through amending this plan, move on to the next one.
Point well taken. Yes.
But by state law, we need to have a plan that applies to this area, and we need to have policies that does this. And so, yeah, I appreciate all the comments. Permits versus, I think the cost is not necessarily the permits, but the cost of extending the infrastructure on a lot of these properties within this area to get there. So that's, again, infrastructure, and I got some ideas to incorporate that in there. And then in terms of focus, I think the one it applies to the Kmart, and it's not intended not to. And if this says we need to get replace our vacant buildings in or get tenants in our vacant buildings in Area 2, that means Kmart in addition to the other places. So that's in there, and we can make sure that that's in there. In terms of the auto focus on South Carson Street, there was a lot of discussion on that, and there's a reason why it is. South Carson Street is a focus that the dealers want to have that synergy and have them and bring them to South Carson Street. So in that sense, that's the one area of focus where auto dealers, because the majority of the area is South Carson Street of the redevelopment area, that I still think those references to focusing auto dealers on South Carson Street, maybe that changes. Maybe that has changed since then. I kind of have a feeling that the auto dealers still want to have that synergy of the regional auto mall down there, though. And so I really didn't plan on identifying that as part of the strategy still.
I think if we go back and look at the importance, and don't forget the importance of how redevelopment area 2 came about, and you're right, we do need to focus in this meeting on area number 2 and not north, middle, anywhere else.
I'm going to say that if we concentrate on filling vacant buildings, we're going to have growth in our city, and I think our auto dealers will be ecstatic. because it will generate more business for them too. And I think that what we're trying to say is we accomplished the goal that we had, unless there's some more goals of the auto dealers that, you know, maybe we're not aware of, but we've certainly made that hub down there and created that. So I think even they would be interested in what's across the street from them, what's down. So I don't think we're doing a disservice to them by moving it into a general comment that redevelopment area 2 needs to concentrate its next 10 years or 15 years on filling vacancies. I don't think that will be a disservice to the auto. I think they're going to be thrilled if we can figure out what to do with some of those buildings.
Okay, I think what we need to do is move this along, and I think that the comments that were made that we need to get the property owners, we need to reach out to them. And I think the timeline that you put forward within, you know, letting the property owners know, even though there's about 600 of them, take public comment, which is going to include the auto dealers, and we need to hear their opinions as well. So with that being said, does somebody have a motion for what we've been talking about related to area number 2 and the agenda on area number 2?
Yeah, I make a motion that staff be directed to whatever you said that staff is supposed to be directed to, okay, to put together a plan for this. One thing that we did not mention that I think is very important that I have started hearing over and over again is the fact not only should we be looking at what's going on there and doing some infill, but it is a real possibility that the bypass will be completed, which will bypass the auto dealers as well. So that needs to be kept in mind. So I make a motion that you do what you need to do to get us going.
I'd offer.
Second.
Schedule.
Well, to do what you need to do to make, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Being to include the proposed process.
The proposed process, yes.
Okay. Have we had a second on the motion?
Whatever that motion was.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? A second? Public comment before we go forward with this agenda item 5-1 about area number 2 redevelopment.
Yes. Good evening. For the record, Morris White. My comments may lay more towards policy rather than the strategic idea that you have here, but at some point in time, you need to think about what sort of businesses that you want to bring into the redevelopment areas, and I think you want to attract quality redevelopment areas, businesses. I think you need to put some stipulations on businesses that receive redevelopment help, and that should be that they have a business plan that runs through the life of the redevelopment area. I think that business plan needs to be able to quantify what the payback to the city will be through their business. You need to stipulate that these businesses are going to supply new jobs so that you're not cannibalizing other areas of the town. You don't want people rushing into a good deal and thereby leaving another part of town empty. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other public comments? Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed? Motion carries. Now, on to item number 6, non-action items. Staff reports an update on matters relating to the RAC. Mr. Plummel.
Thank you. Just one thing to mention that I wanted to mention at regarding special events, back to special events. Earlier in the year when we went to the Redevelopment Authority with the special event funding, there wasn't the full funding, and we were directed to come back after the budget to the Redevelopment Authority. So we plan on doing that on June 21st to show them the budget to see if they want to fully fund any other additional special events. That's just for your information. There's about, and there was about $92,000 of funding from next year's budget that was funded, and about $26,000, I think it was, of requested that was not funded. And so anyway, June 21st at the Board of Supervisors, if you're interested in that item, or contact me before then, I'll see if it's on the agenda. And before you discuss future items, I wanted to note that after this discussion, now we're going to come back in August. I don't have any items for July 2nd, and in fact, I'm not going to be in town on July 2nd, so I'm going to suggest the week of July 4th that we don't have a RAC meeting. And that concludes my report.
I think I agree with the July 4th. Lee, I have a question. On the special events, if I recall, there was some discussion that might go to a different department. You voted no? Okay.
Yeah, the recommendation,
I think what we need to do is move this along, and I think that the comments that were made that we need to get the property owners, we need to reach out to them. And I think the timeline that you put forward within, you know, letting the property owners know, even though there's about 600 of them, take public comment, which is going to include the auto dealers, and we need to hear their opinions as well. So with that being said, does somebody have a motion for what we've been talking about related to area number two and the agenda on area number two?
Yeah, I make a motion that staff be directed to whatever you said that staff is supposed to be directed to, okay, to put together a plan for this. One thing that we did not mention that I think is very important that I have started hearing over and over again is the fact not only should we be looking at what's going on there and doing some infill, but it is a real possibility that the bypass will be completed, which will bypass the auto dealers as well. So that needs to be kept in mind. So I make a motion that you do what you need to do to get us going.
I'd offer.
Second.
Yeah.
The schedule.
Well, to do what you need to do to make, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Being to include the proposed process.
The proposed process, yes.
Okay, have we had a second on the motion?
Whatever that motion was.
Okay, any discussion on the motion, a second? Public comment before we go forward? With this agenda item 5-1 about area number two redevelopment.
Yes. Good evening. For the record, Morris White. My comments may lay more towards policy rather than the strategic idea that you have here, but at some point in time, you need to think about what sort of businesses that you want to bring into the redevelopment areas, and I think you want to attract quality redevelopment areas, businesses. I think you need to put some stipulations on businesses that receive redevelopment help, and that should be that they have a business plan that runs through the life of the redevelopment area. I think that business plan needs to be able to quantify what the payback to the city will be through their business. You need to stipulate that these businesses are going to supply new jobs so that you're not cannibalizing other areas of the town. You don't want people rushing into a good deal and thereby leaving another part of town empty. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other public comments? Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed, motion carries. Now on to item number six, non-action items. Staff reports an update on matters relating to the RAC. Mr. Plummel.
Thank you, just one thing to mention that I wanted to mention at regarding special events, back to special events. Earlier in the year when we went to the Redevelopment Authority with the special event funding, there wasn't the full funding and we were directed to come back after the budget to the Redevelopment Authority. So we plan on doing that on June 21st to show them the budget to see if they want to fully fund any other additional special events. That's just for your information. There's about, and there was about $92,000 of funding from next year's budget that was funded, and about $26,000, I think it was, of requested that was not funded. And So anyway, June 21st at the Board of Supervisors, if you're interested in that item, or contact me before then. I'll see if it's on the agenda. And before you discuss future items, I wanted to note that after this discussion, now we're going to come back in August. I don't have any items for July 2nd, and in fact, I'm not going to be in town on July 2nd, so I'm going to suggest the week of July 4th that we don't have a RAC meeting. And that concludes my report.
I think I agree with the July 4th. Lee, I have a question. On the special events, if I recall, there was some discussion that might go to a different department. You voted no? Okay.
Yeah, the recommendation, I think we haven't taken that to the Redevelopment Authority and Board of Supervisors yet. A meeting with Karen and Larry and the Cultural Commission was run by Office of Business Development, now is by Redevelopment, and Parks and Rec. I think over the next few months, before the next is special event season, I mean, clearly it's an issue, and you know, that keeps coming up, and I think there'll be more discussions on that over the next few months. It has not gone. Whether somebody else is going to review, it was presented possibly the Cultural Commission to review special events permits. That I think that's still up in the air, but there's some potential issues with that that will be discussed in the future. Okay.
Going on to item 6B, maybe it might be helpful, being that we're talking about redevelopment. Obviously, Ronnie has some information on what's going on where Jeff Smith used to be. And is there anything going on over where the old Stewart Title building is? Is there any new and exciting things moving in? I've heard rumors floating around, but they could be rumors.
I've heard nothing. I haven't even heard that it's been sold.
I've heard a few things, but we'll just wait and see.
Okay.
Okay, so that's not up for
public. Well, I know that there's been things pending, but yeah.
So what's moving in? What's being built, Ronnie, by South Carson Street, where the vacant lot was? Is it O'Reilly Auto Parts?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Okay, there's an AutoZone that's moving in.
Yeah, it's the AutoZone that's coming in there, and that was, talk about a blight. That was a blighted property for a while. Just had that, it was the used car lot for the former Jeep Nissan dealership. So things seem to be working okay down there. So, and as far as the rest, I haven't heard anything new. I do know that the Einstein Bagel is not coming in. Because you probably know more than I, there were issues there. So, and some of that had to do with the, not with the city at all, but with the people who own the buildings or the management companies. So.
Okay, great. Any other comments, but board? Future agenda items, we're not going to have a future agenda on July 2nd. And so, maybe August 6th. Should we? Any future agenda items for August 6th comments?
I assume on the August 6th then we'll receive any comments.
Okay, great. And then moving on to item number 7, public comments. The public is invited at this time to comment on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on the matter raised under this item of the agenda. Any public comments? Hearing none, seeing none. Item 8, for possible action to adjourn. Do I hear a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Unanimous motion carries. Have a great night.